Jim Dunaway, Lance Taylor, Ryan Brown, and Rockstar. Live from the Birmingham Racecourse Casino Studios, the next round, presented by Bud Light, is on now.
Headlines this hour brought to you by our friends at the Johnston RV Center, johnstonrvcenter.com, Brownie.
Family owned and operated by our guys, Rodney and Nick Johnston. Great guys, by the way. Top selling travel trailer dealer in the entire state. Two great locations, I-65, exit 304 in Coleman, and 334 in Decatur. Financing is available, johnstonrvcenter.com.
Auburn beats Ole Miss over the weekend. They'll be number one or number two when the AP poll comes out in about an hour. Alabama's lost three straight after losing to Mississippi State on Saturday. UAB beats Florida Atlantic. Jordan Walker and Quan Jackson with big games for Andy's team there. Alabama losing John Mechie after we left the show on Friday to the NFL. Chris Allen, Jalen Armour Davis, and Auburn losing Chandler Wooten to the NFL. The NFL draft deadline is today. A lot of people have left. We'll talk more about that coming up. Paul Tyson to Arizona State. Jaleel Billingsley to Texas. Drew Sanders to Arkansas. Arkansas also gets LSU DB Dwight McLaughlin, a big-time player there. And Oregon DB DJ James picks Auburn, as they continue that player to be named later for the Bo Nix trade. And earlier today, Florida gets Osiris Torrance, who was the most sought-after offensive lineman in the portal. He goes and follows the Florida Gators and Billy Napier from Louisiana Lafayette to now becoming a Gator. Those are your headlines. More NFL football happening tonight. Brown continues our best and worst of the weekend, brought to you by our friends at Hemp Hill. What was your worst of the weekend?
My worst, just it randomly got worse because I just saw something on TV that made it worse. So my worst of the weekend is us continuing to have to labor through these good SEC basketball games with these guys banished to their living room doing the color and the play-by-play.
I tweeted about this.
Jimmy yep. Dykes, if I understand right, LSU Arkansas couldn't even get on. Was it the game at Arkansas, right? Am I right about that? Did they play that game at Fayetteville? Jimmy Dykes lives up there. But anyway, he couldn't get on the game, so I think Ravage had to carry a lot of it by himself. We'll have Dane Bradshaw on later, and we're not going to talk to Dane about this, obviously. We'll talk to him about the game, but he was doing the Auburn-Ole Miss game from his living room. And then just – so it's bad enough, right? And this started as quote-unquote safety protocols. They were limited as to who they could send. And now it's just ESPN being cheap. And it's an insult to us as the viewer – and it's an insult to the Southeastern Conference and these programs that you're going so cheap and unprofessional to make these guys do the game from their living rooms. Yeah. It looks awful. I can't believe ESPN has lowered themselves to this level that they're willing to do this.
Yeah. And listen, I have a lot of friends who work at ESPN and you know, all the offices that provide all of this. But here's a dirty little secret. All right, dirty little secret for you.
Who did that song? Dirty little secret. Dirty.
I don't know.
Name of the war.
I think it was All American Rejects.
Oh yeah, it was All American Rejects.
So, dirty little secret here is that a lot of the schools in the SEC are providing the technical crews and the camera crews, and they're doing great. They do a great job, but they're students, and who gets paid less than the people who used to roll in and run the cameras and the crews and all that? The students do.
Yeah.
So we're worried about name, image, and likeness and the players making some money and all of that. Well, now all of a sudden you've got, we'll say Robert, who has been a camera guy doing ESPN and Jefferson Pilot and all those games for years and years, and he's a professional. He's got many, many games under his belt, and he makes X amount of dollars. Well, now I can go pay – you know, Joe Senior or Joe Junior at Alabama or Mississippi State to run the camera and pay him a lot less money.
But you know,
meanwhile, ESPN still charging
direct
TV, and which trickles down to us, the same amount of money to watch a lesser product on television.
Not fair to the consumer. The old adage, you get what you pay for.
Yep. That's right. Now,
and this is the first, I said this on the air arguing with somebody the other night on Twitter. I said, this is the first generation where the broadcast has gotten worse. When Rune Arledge took over ABC covering college football in 1960, it has gotten better and better and better and better and better and better all the way until now.
Yep.
Like, How much does Chris Fowler love tennis?
A lot.
He's doing the Australian Open from Bristol.
Is he really? Yeah. Now, and that's got a lot to do, I think, though, with the Australian government. If you see with the Djokovic situation.
It is. Yeah. It is. But you're telling me Chris Fowler and his crew, the people, they don't have enough people that are fully vaccinated that would want to go down there?
I don't know. I don't know about that whole situation. I just know, obviously, it is really, really tricky with Djokovic.
And I'll tell you that, if I'm Fowler, I don't want to go to Australia right now.
He warned me on his Instagram story last night. He said, listen, if you want as much tennis coverage as you're used to getting, I would tell you to subscribe to ESPN Plus today. And that basically is all he's going to say about it, which tells me they've dialed back their tennis coverage of the Australian Open a little bit. Probably because of hockey.
But here's
they picked up the hockey contract, and as they put more hockey games on, that's less tennis that's going
to
be on.
You're right about him probably not wanting to go to Australia right now, but I bet that trip to Australia is incredible after his long football season. Normally,
and
normal
situation. He looks forward to it.
He spends 2 weeks down there.
And it's in the summer.
It's summertime, right? That's the middle of summer down there. Yeah.
So what made this worse for me, though? I was already going to mention this is my worst of the weekend. What is on the bottom right here? We always keep the SEC network on.
Gymnastics.
It's gymnastics. It's, I believe Auburn is involved in this. Yeah, this Auburn at Arkansas.
Actually, Auburn in Fayetteville against Arkansas.
That's right. This is from, Auburn is right there on the graphic, Ryan, if you would just look. That's from Friday night, I think, or Saturday night. Do you know what I noticed in this earlier?
The announcers are there.
They're there. Yep. How can you justify? And women's gymnastics is fantastic, all right? That's great. SEC does it at an elite level. I doubt it makes a dime for the schools. I bet it's a money-losing proposition for the schools. Whereas basketball makes money for the schools. How can you justify having a live crew at a gymnastics meet?
And by the way,
not at an SEC basketball game.
It's completely packed.
Oh, it's packed.
And the crowd's on top of the announcers there.
Yeah. I mean, how can you do? Yeah. It's no longer about safety. You can't say this is about safety. This is about ESPN. They did it a year for safety, and they're like, my gosh, look how much money we saved, and we're not getting a ton of pushback from this. Let's keep it going. And I would have thought that the Greg Sankeys of the world had more say-so in this and would have been like, no, sir, you're going to be in our arenas. But I don't know how all this is going down.
Well, you've got friends at the SEC office. Are they going to be upset at us bringing it up here?
I don't care. I don't know if they will be.
I'm just asking you, are they going to be upset about it? Obviously, if you cared, you wouldn't have brought it up.
Probably not.
Do you think they're okay with this?
No, I think they want them in the arenas because they know it hurts the product.
It does. It does. It makes me not want to watch. I'm trying to watch the Alabama-Mississippi State game, and the volume. I mean, the crowd there in Starkville, it was a great crowd.
Yeah.
It was a great crowd. And they have to have the volume at, we'll say 4 for the crowd noise so that you can have the two announcers from the living room do their broadcast. And there's no enthusiasm at all. Zero enthusiasm at all.
Yeah. And Jay's trying to make a point here. He's incorrect. He said they get 10,000 in the stands at these gymnastics events, and they do. I don't know what the tickets go for. It's not about attendance. It's about the amount of money ESPN pays to show them. They don't pay a ton of money to show this. They pay a lot of money to show basketball and football. Those are the money-making sports, and it's just amazing to me that non-revenue sports like women's gymnastics gets a live announce crew and legitimate Arkansas LSU's a good SEC basketball game. And you can't even get an announcer on the game because he's having to do it from his house and his Wi-Fi's down.
And again, I'm okay with students doing the game.
Sure,
that's how I got started, was getting an opportunity to pull cable or to do this or that. That is absolutely fine. But if you're saving money there, let's get the announcers in the arena, man. Yeah. If Tom Hart and the guys have to, put up with occasional bad camera or bad audio, let's at least have them there in the arena.
It makes no sense. Yeah. Anyway, that's my worst of the week.
That's Brown's worst of the weekend. Did you have a good one? Did you have a good, nice
I really
weekend?
Did not. Best no, I had weekend? A fantastic weekend. I just didn't. There's nothing that jumps out. I could just be generic and say, we had 2 good NFL playoff games, which we did.
Well, you were in Nashville over the weekend.
I was in Nashville. My wife and I, that's for the third night I have spent in Nashville. What is it, the 17th? And I have now slept 3 nights in Nashville, which was completely random. But my wife and I went there. You know where I stayed? It's the first time I stayed in that JW Marriott that they built right there by Bridgestone Arena. That's an incredible hotel. And can you guys visualize that building?
Yeah.
You know how it's got way up high that weird looking part? That's the restaurant. The view you get from Nashville in that restaurant is incredible.
Did you end up eating in the restaurant or just
going
up there?
Did not. We just went up there to see the view. We were going to have a drink, but it was packed, so we just went back to our room. No, I did a different restaurant that was really good. Our buddy Withrow from Outkick 360 suggested a restaurant that was fantastic. But boy, man, that is a cool hotel. Cool hotel.
All right. Best and worst of the weekend continues on. Also part of the show being brought to you by the wonderful folks at Precision Sports as we move towards the NFL playoffs, wrapping up wild card weekend tonight with the Cardinals and Rams. Keep in mind, 49ers play Packers next week, and there will be a Nick Bosa watch going on. Had a head injury, left the game in the win over the Cowboys. What his status will be as they play the Packers will be determined as the week progresses. Also, Fred Warner, big linebacker for the 49ers, banged up as well. Those two, keep an eye on them. Also keep an eye on the offensive lineman, Tristan Wirfs, for the Buccaneers. Had not missed a snap of his pro career until yesterday. He got rolled up on. He'll be questionable as they play the winner of the Cardinals and Rams tonight. That's a Precision Sports injury update.
Hey, from pediatrics to geriatrics, those injuries started to pile up on the field and in the yard. Affiliated with Brookwood Baptist Health, Precision Sports Medicine and Orthopedics, 9 convenient locations, including the return of hand surgeon Dr. Joseph Sherrill. We are rebuilding champions on and off the field, so make that appointment today. Call 855-219-6200 or visit them online, precisionsportsortho.com.
All right. Back to these transfers, the portal that has been wide open. And I told you some of them in the headline. The one that has drawn a lot of attention and differing opinions about how important it is Jahlil Billingsley going to Texas. Not surprised here, you know, that he goes and wants to be with Sark, because when he became a name, when people started to recognize Jahlil Billingsley's talents, who was calling plays? It was Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah, so his sophomore year.
He got the best out of it.
This makes the most sense. And Jeff Banks, also on that staff, was his position coach.
Had him returning kicks out of the end zone, too,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think there's familiarity. There's a comfort level. So this makes the most sense for Billingsley.
As an Alabama fan, though, I think Bama fans were ready to see this guy leave. Now that he shows up at a program with the reputation of Texas, do you have second thoughts as an Alabama fan? What did we just lose?
No, because he had, for whatever reason, checked out. At least that's the way it looked. So, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, I think there's some sour grapes there. I mean, we even had a former Bama player on saying there's one guy that I'm not going to name. Good riddance, basically.
But, glad I never have to watch him wear the crimson again were the words.
Look, yes. It didn't look like there was a lot of effort, and everybody talks about that one block. I think it was the entirety of the season. I mean, this is a guy that just didn't show up. He had completely checked out, and if he can reinvent himself in Austin, good for him. And, you know, I mean, this is still a young kid that, you know, he made the decision to go back to a familiar face and Sarkisian. And I've got a feeling that Jahlil Billingsley will probably have an impact with that team next year.
The other one that left was Drew Sanders, and this is a 5-star linebacker who is out the door now to Arkansas, who added a big DB from LSU.
They've added
4 defensive players that are either 4 or 5 stars. Now he leaves as we get news that Chris Allen is coming out, going to the NFL, as he penned a post last night that he was on his way to the National Football League. We're waiting to hear about Christian Harris. I don't think he's officially said he's going to the NFL, but the expectation is he's going to the NFL. So, when Drew Sanders made that decision to hit the portal, I think our belief was, man, that linebacking room is so deep. I don't blame Drew Sanders for leaving. Not going to be felt much by Alabama. Now, do you feel a little different about Drew Sanders going with Chris Allen going to the NFL?
Well, I mean, it hurts you in depth because he was going to be a backup. He is not playing in front of Will Anderson or Dallas Turner, period, end of sentence.
Yeah, and you got Toa Toa in the middle.
Now you obviously got to replace Christian Harris. Drew Sanders wasn't going to do that. But he was not playing in front of either one of those guys. So, yeah, I mean, it hurts you in depth. I mean, he may go start at Arkansas. I don't know their depth chart, but I think Drew Sanders is a really good player. I just think when you got to see Dallas Turner, Drew Sanders is not getting on the field in front of any of the, in fact, Alabama has got maybe the 2 best pass rushers in the Southeastern Conference next year. They've got the best one in the nation, I know. I don't know if you saw this earlier this week. I think it was our guy Mike Lombardi said he was asking around, and you're going to have to help me with the other guy, the Hutchinson guy out of Michigan, and there's one more pass rusher that's in the draft that everybody's talking about who goes first. And he asked around a bunch of scouts, and he said, you know the answer I got back the most? was we don't know. All we can watch is number 31 at Alabama.
Right.
Who's not even drafted.
Was it not Thibodeau?
Was it not Thibodeau?
I don't think it was Thibodeau. It was somebody else. Anyway, that's irrelevant. But that was the response from the NFL is all we're concentrating on is 31 at Alabama. So he's the best pass rusher in the nation. Dallas Turner, from start to finish of the year, one of the most improved players in all the college football.
Yeah,
so Sanders wasn't playing in front of those two guys.
But I think it's a good landing spot for Drew Sanders. I mean, Bumper Poole is going to be back. Grant Morgan and Hayden Henry, they're gone now. And Barry Odom's done a really good job of that defense. And those linebackers, every one of them seems to have 100-plus tackles.
The guys at Alabama are getting back. Emil Ekior is coming back. Toa Toa, as I mentioned. Jordan Battle coming back.
That's big.
That was a big get.
Yeah,
DJ Dale coming back. DeMarco Helms coming back.
I thought Jordan Battle was really good for Alabama at the end of the season. Underrated play by him was actually everybody focuses on Tank Bigsby going out of bounds in the Iron Bowl. Jordan Battle drug him out of bounds. That was a great play by Jordan Battle. He had the pick six and dropped another pick six against Georgia. I thought down the stretch Jordan Battle was really good for Alabama. I have the coach's film. Don't know his grades. But my naked eye, I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah. So the portal given and taking away for some places, the NFL deadline is today. One note, and I get asked this a lot. You have 72 hours. You have until Friday. The deadline's today to enter if you're an underclassman, but you can pull yourself out until Friday. So you've got 72 hours to change your mind. So we'll just use we'll use John Mechie as an example. So Mechie's in. He's in there. The deadline's today. So when the deadline hits, there's a 72-hour window. And if you're in, you just changed your mind, you've gotten some different feedback, you feel bad about your decision, you can pull your name back out of the NFL draft up until Friday. So a 72-hour window to once you've declared, you've got a little window here to come back.
Boy, this is tough, man. I'm indecisive on dinner.
Yeah,
and to make the decision whether you're going to come back for another year or whether you want to go on and pursue your dream in the NFL.
Or go to a different school and keep playing
it's
in college.
Really tough.
Well, see, that's when I don't know how you guys are, but when I'm playing EA Sports College Football, I do these dynasties, but I have a hard time staying at one school 2 years in a row. Like I get tired, you know, you play 11 games in a bowl game with the same team.
So if you were a five-star, you'd be hell, right?
I would jump around as much as they would let me. I like the different sceneries, the different schedule, the different games. And I'll do that in EA Sports. Like I'll play one season, and instead of sitting there playing a second season, a lot of times I'm like, oh, I'm going to hit the coaching carousel and see what job's out there. Oh, I'll take the LSU
job. Is it always an upgrade?
No. Yeah. If you're in too quick, you have to take a lesser job.
Ooh.
Hey, can I bring up Paul Tyson, though? I thought that was so strange he goes to Arizona State.
Why? He's a four-star recruit. You thought that was too good of a school for him?
No. Here's my point on that. Look, I think one of the more underachieving quarterbacks this year was Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
But I still think Jaden Daniels, who's not going to the NFL, is going to be your starting quarterback. So Paul Tyson, to me, is as average as Jaden was, is not going to beat Jaden Daniels out next year. So you're going to be sitting behind Jaden Daniels.
But if you're number two and then the following year you have a chance to play, he's got 3 years of eligibility left.
I get that, but Jaden technically has got two more if he wants them. Jaden seems like a guy, if he has a good year this year, is going to bolt to the NFL. But Paul was technically going to be the two at Alabama this year too, right?
Not with five-star Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe.
And that might have been part of it, is he might have scanned the room and thought, I don't even know if I'm the number two. I think I can be the number two at Arizona State. I'm going to broad brush here. Arizona State, for a good-looking, how old is Paul? 18, 19-year-old seems like it would be a fun place to be in school.
20-year-old.
No doubt.
20-year-old, however old he is.
Pac-12, better education.
That's right. He's going to get a world-class education at Arizona State.
Yeah, he went out west.
Yeah.
But he's got his Alabama degree with him, so he's on his way out there. That's another question. I'd love for you to find this out for me, too.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I'm a grad transfer, does that count once as my free transfer?
Don't know. Do they still get the extra one?
Like Bo Nix was adamant that he was a grad transfer going to Oregon. Like, does he still get his free transfer?
That's a good question.
I don't think so.
Can you figure that out?
I think more it's, hey, look, I did what I came to Auburn to accomplish. I got my degree here, and now it's time for me to move on.
If you remember, the grad transfer started, and I think they relaxed this, but it started, you had to find a graduate program at the other school that your school didn't offer.
Because wasn't Jeremiah Masoli, when he came from Oregon – He was like in forestry or something.
Yeah, I mean, it was. You had to find something. My school doesn't offer this grad program, but Ole Miss does. So I'm going to go.
I think Ole Miss almost created that. Like, we've got a closet we're going to clean out. And we're going to say,
this is our forestry department.
I know you're a professor of North American Indians, but what we're going to do is you're also going to be a forestry director.
Yeah, so I mean, like you had to say, I'm going to get my graduate degree in religious studies.
That's right.
But, well, your bachelor's degree is in economics. Well, yeah. You know. Well,
that's how the kid made it from Oregon to Ole Miss, remember? He couldn't. The only place he could find his graduate degree was at Ole Miss.
Masoli.
They didn't offer it at Oregon. Yeah. That's what you guys were talking about.
Yeah.
All right, that's the conversation about Paul Tyson, among the others. Auburn losing Chandler Wooten, too. That was a guy I thought had decided he was coming back, and now he's off to the NFL.
A little surprising there, yeah. With you know, because they had so many defensive guys that were coming back.
Yeah, so portal, it's crazy, and the deadline's wrapping up here. When we come back, Rockstar's viewing menu, Dane Bradshaw back on basketball at the top of the hour and what he sees in Auburn, whether he thinks they're number one or number two in the country. But up next, we want to talk about Georgia's championship celebration, and they won a national championship. The next first team to make it to a playoff, LT threw this out for us on Friday, and we didn't get a chance to talk about it. So Michigan and Cincinnati rung the bell as first-time playoff teams. Who's in line to do that next and maybe rise up to where Georgia celebrated over the weekend and win a national championship? That conversation is coming up after LT tells us about the great folks at Bromberg's. Good for a gift anytime. It's the great folks at Bromberg's.
Yeah, family-owned and operated since 1836, Bromberg's has established that solid reputation as a fine purveyor of quality diamonds as well as jewelry, timepieces, and gifts. Bromberg's also has that extensive giftware department to service the Registry of Brides and Grooms in the Birmingham area. Go see our friends at Bromberg's. Two great locations, Mountain Brook and the Summit. You can also view their online store today. Go to Bromberg's.com.
Follow LT on Twitter at TheLanceTaylor.
This hour of the Next Round is presented by Excalibur Services. Join our Total Home Comfort Club. Just like your car, your heating and cooling, electrical and plumbing systems need to be maintained for top performance, safety, and comfort. Call 205-718-8688. Excalibur Services. Alabama license number 15214.
There's no better way to kick off the new year than by getting your finances in order. And our friends at Mortgage Right can help you beef up your bank account with ease. With a cash out refinance, you can pay off your debt or make that important purchase by taking advantage of your home equity. Don't miss out on the chance to make your home work for you. Visit MortgageRight.com/TNR to make the most of this opportunity today. That's MortgageRight.com/TNR. NMLS 2239 Equal Housing Lender.
Hey, Lance Taylor from the Next Round. You've heard me for years talk about our friends at Bromberg's Jewelers, and we welcome you to stop by and see that great customer service at the Mountain Brook and Summit locations. But we'd also love for you to check out their new online shop. They've got plenty to choose from. Great gifts, big and small. Available online, they've got David Yurman, Tudor watches, select diamond and gemstone jewelry, William Henry, seasonal and favorite giftware items, and baby gifts as well. They've even got an online sell section. For more information, Bromberg's.com.
A legendary coach once said, "It's not the will to win that matters, it's the will to prepare to win." Bryant Bankers have the dedication and experience to put together a financial game plan that's right for you. Stop by one of the 7 Central Alabama locations today or give them a call at 1-855-4-BRYANT to begin preparing for your financial future today. You'll find out what unbeatable service and legendary results are all about. Bryant Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Have you had a pipe burst? A washing machine overflow? Maybe your toilet or bathtub has overflowed upstairs and now you have water coming through your ceiling. Big problem for you? No problem for a Dry Tech specialist. They're ready to help. It is important to act immediately when water damage occurs. Failing to do so can cause mold, rot, and mildew issues. Long-term exposure to these toxins can cause many health issues down the road. So act fast. Your first step is calling Dry Tech Solutions. 205-637-0143. They have 24/7 emergency services. 205-637-0143 or mydrytech.com.
What are some signs that you may have a low testosterone problem? Is your energy down? Have your workouts not been the same? Do you have problems sleeping? All of these or one of these could be a sign of a low testosterone issue. Whatever the challenge, the Alabama Men's Clinic has a solution for you. I'd invite you to come by the Homewood location, get a medical consultation and some blood work. And if you're medically advised and you start your low T treatments that day in the office, your visit is free. Well, the next question would be this. How do I set up the appointment? You can do it two ways. One, by calling 205-598-7000. That's 205-598-7000. 877-207-0000. Or you can go to the website, alabamamensclinic.com. There's other signs that you could have a low testosterone problem, like a change in your libido, or maybe you're suffering from depression. Whatever is keeping you from feeling 100%, it's time you find out the answer. Again, call the number 205-598-7000 or go online to alabamamensclinic.com. The new location of Walk-Ons is now open at Stadium Trace in Hoover near the Hoover Met. And just like the location off Highway 280, you get authentic, mouth-watering Louisiana cuisine prepared fresh from scratch every day. Walk-Ons Happy Hour is 2 to 6 Monday through Friday. $5 moonshine swirls, $5 house pours, and half-price appetizer. Download the Walk-Ons mobile app for an easy take-home experience for the family. It's game day with a taste of Louisiana at Walk-Ons off Highway 281-19 and now at Stadium Trace near the Hoover Met.
Want more of the show? Download the app or visit nextroundlive.com for the latest podcast. The Mystery Fifth Hour, our Not For All Ages podcast like Bama and Bourbon, and the entire Double Down Media podcast family, all at nextroundlive.com and on the Next Round app.
At ERA King Real Estate, they're empowered by technology and driven by community. I'm Jim Dunaway, and my friends at ERA King have the most extensive training and the most innovative tools in the business. And they're opening their 10th office location in Central Alabama this month. To find your agent, text the word MOVE, M-O-V-E, to 35260. That's MOVE to 35260. ERA King Real Estate, growing to serve you.
Dane Bradshaw coming up at the top of the hour. Jim Nagy in the final hour. Already Joel Klatt on the show from Fox Sports. You can get that podcasted at nextroundlive.com, nextroundlive.com. Mason says it's Colby Wooden who said he was coming back, not Chandler Wooten, Colby's brother Caleb, also on the roster. I thought Wooden and Wooten both had said they were coming back, but I was wrong, Mason. Glad that one's coming back and the other one's off to the NFL. He'll be a good one there. I saw what Roger McCrary, the Auburn DB, projected in the first round, is the third best graded, according to Pro Football Focus, a DB in the SEC since 2019. He is only exceeded by Stingley and Surtain.
Wow. I thought he had a good year, and he and Mathieu went head-to-head a lot in the Iron Bowl. That was a heck of a matchup.
I've seen some projections top 10 for McCrary.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I saw a stat. I'm not going to get this 100% right, but I think it was any pass more than 20 yards downfield against him, only two were completed, I think, in his career on him. So that's pretty good if you're going to play in the NFL, right? You're a tough guy to beat deep.
Part of the show today being brought to you by our friends at New Life. They bring us Rockstar's viewing menu every day.
Yeah, New Life Art, bringing you memorable sports moments by Daniel A. Moore for over 40 years. Call them today for more information, 1-800-735-2787. You can always go online to view that incredible work. Go to danielmooreart.com.
On Netflix, they released a new show called Article 81. Has anybody heard or seen about this? I got an email about it saying this might interest you. I've never gotten an email from Netflix, so I looked at the trailer. We watched the first episode last night. An archivist takes a job restoring damaged videotapes and gets pulled into the vortex of a mystery involving the missing director and, of course, a demonic cult.
Of course.
So it's fiction.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. But it's interesting. The first episode, as they said, it's a slow burn. I think it's 8 episodes. It's called Archive 81. And then,
what would you think, though?
It's real slow. It's interesting. They say, like, you know, we have these damaged videotapes. A guy hires him, like, we're going to give you $100,000. He works for like a museum, an audio museum in New York. And he said, we'll offer you $100,000 to, we have 8 burned videotapes that we need to restore. But you have to restore it in the Catskills. We have a little place for you to do. They're so valuable, you can't take them with you. Bless you.
And, that was quite the sneeze.
Yeah, he restores these audio, and, like, he sees the director girl, and then it shows the, it's kind of like the found footage thing, but the cool thing is it's not just found footage, but it just goes back. It shows a girl with a videotape, a video recorder saying, like, I'm going to this building. This is a mysterious building. Then it turns the camera where it shows actually as it's happening, so it's not like found footage. I like that, where it's not like all shaky camera. But, I mean, we'll probably give it another episode.
Okay, I'll give it a shot.
And for Lance, just in case tonight ends bad or good, I got a good one for you tonight, your nightcap. Late show with Stephen Colbert at 10:35, musical guest. The man, the legend, Sam Hunt.
Oh, LT.
So there's your nightcap.
Yeah. Like a back row.
Did anybody come across him in Indy when we were up there?
Sam Hunt.
Yeah. I did not. He was playing on the big screen when Brown and I were recording a couple of videos. Okay. They were pumping it in.
So he was in the building when we were there. Or was he outside?
No, could you feel energy?
He was outside on the square a couple hours before the gates opened.
Okay, where Doja Cat was.
Yeah, okay. Doja the Cat is the Cat. Uber driver called her. I did that for the first time ever. I DVR'd 60 Minutes. I growing
up, officially gotten old.
I have yes.
I didn't watch it this weekend. Maggie was out of town.
I got hooked in by the growing up. I don't know if you guys like the Diary of Anne Frank. Growing up, I loved that book when I was a kid in high school. I always liked the World War II stuff.
What pulled you in is who actually flipped.
That's
on
right.
Him?
Did you not see that tease during the 49ers Cowboys game?
And I actually wanted to see it, but I saw the tease one time and I forgot about it.
Well, I saw the tease and I'm like, I'm interested in that, but I know I'm not going to stick around after the game and watch it. So I DVR.
Who flipped?
Well, I haven't watched it yet. I'm going to watch it today after the show. But that was the tease: is who do they think flipped on the Frank family? I mean, it looked fascinating because
that'd have been tough to sleep.
Oh boy, selling them out, and they had a good run.
They did.
They had a good run in that joint.
Small spot.
Yep.
All right. Now the topic that LT wanted to bring up on Friday that we saved for today to get Brown back into the conversation is. Every year, we're faced with new teams trying to make it to the college football playoffs for the first time. Last year, we had two in Michigan and Cincinnati who rang the bell and got there. So if I said to you, give me one, two, or three, a couple of names here that you think are poised to be that next team to break the ceiling and finally get into the college football playoff for the first time. LT, start us off with one.
Well, I'll just go one this year. I do think Utah, with what they've got coming back, 17 returning starters, the momentum they had at the end of the season, once Cam Rising took over the quarterback position, Kyle Whittingham has done an A job there. Say what you want, that's a difficult program, but they're in a conference now, the Pac-12. They're starving to get back to a college football playoff. They've only been there twice. Once with Oregon, once with Washington. If they were to go 11-1, I think they would give them one pass, one loss in the regular season, winning that conference championship. I think they could get there, and I think they've got enough talent to do so next year.
We'll come up with a list here and put it into a poll question. Utah is on the list right now. Can you bump them out of the top four?
I can stay in that conference and say what you want about Lincoln Riley and the USC job. Lincoln Riley knows his way to the playoffs.
Yep.
Guy did it time and time again at Oklahoma. I will always say about Lincoln Riley, I don't believe he is a complete football coach. I believe he's a really, really good offensive coach. But he's never had the dedication to defense that it requires to win a national championship. And his teams at Oklahoma progressively got worse in the playoffs. They almost beat Georgia. They got blown out pretty good by Alabama. They got destroyed by LSU in the playoffs. So if he had stayed at Oklahoma, he was going to have to figure out an answer to that question. But I do think at USC, he can get them to the playoffs. I think Lincoln Riley will have USC in the playoffs.
If I had to go four, USC is definitely one of mine as well.
Utah is a better program right now, and Kyle Whittingham is an excellent football coach. I feel like I'd go USC actually in front of Utah. Though I agree with Lance. I think Utah's got the team that could do it next year.
Could do it one year, but USC.
Yeah. Long term, I'm going to buy USC before I buy Utah.
I mean, Mario Williams was a good get over the weekend. The Oklahoma wide receiver picking him up, and you just assume Caleb Williams is going to be there too, and those two are going to stick together.
I mean, with Jackson Dart bolting and him getting Mario Williams, it does feel like Caleb Williams will be there. I don't know what the delay is about.
I mean, Texas A&M is number one in recruiting this past year, right? It's in the SEC, so it's hard to get there. It's in the SEC.
Although there are times where two make it in.
But if I just go by recruiting rankings, right? Texas A&M is one. Alabama's been in. Georgia's been in. Ohio State's been in. Texas hasn't. Penn State hasn't. Notre Dame has been in. North Carolina hasn't. Michigan has been in. Oklahoma has been in. Then you're down to Missouri, Kentucky. Florida State's been in. Tennessee hasn't. Stanford. Auburn hasn't been into the playoffs yet. Michigan State has, Indiana hasn't, LSU has, Arizona has. That's the top 20. So there's a lot of, I mean, we're getting to the point where we're getting to the point there's a lot of name brands who have been in there, and then you get to a lot of mediocre programs or SEC teams. You either have to choose another SEC team or you get to some pretty average programs pretty quick.
Well, I know you probably would go Texas A&M because although they've got this gauntlet of the SEC and more specifically the SEC West, they beat Alabama last year. They're catching LSU this year in a rebuild. Ole Miss probably in a rebuild, although they're trying to get Jackson Dart shooting around Oxford and Aston Martin.
Yeah, and their tight end who's traveling with him. So
it's pretty amazing. The other team that I was going to say, even in front of Utah, I've just got a feeling this is going to be a really special year for Utah. I think Wisconsin has been on the brink. And Graham Mertz is coming back for year four. Braylon Allen, if you didn't watch him as a true freshman running back, he is going to be in that long line of great Wisconsin running backs. So I think offensively, they're going to be fine. Jim Leonard has got one of the best defenses in college football. So they've got a lot coming back.
See, I give you Wisconsin. I give you Penn State. But when you throw away Texas A&M because they're in the SEC, to me, Texas A&M and Auburn are two SEC teams in that you've got to look at, and soon to be Tennessee, before you get to some of these other mediocre programs.
Yeah, but I'm shooting for it this year. Like, we had, you know, three new teams, actually two new teams, get into the college football playoff this year. So I'm looking for 2022.
Yeah. It feels like Paul Chryst has that puzzling loss every year that cost him something like this. Like, every year they've got a loss and you're just like, well, where did that come from? I think we have ignored the Big 12 here at our own peril, because keep in mind, if you want to flash forward, I don't know how far we got to flash forward, Texas and Oklahoma will be departing that conference. And that is going to leave a power void in that conference for a Baylor or an Oklahoma State or someone like that to fill.
No, Cincinnati, who was in the playoffs.
Cincinnati, who was UCF, already in, yep. UCF. But that conference has a seat at the table, so somebody's going to win that conference. And if they can win it at 12-0, or in the right scenario at 11-1, they can get in this thing. So is Oklahoma State that bad? A suggestion? I mean, Oklahoma State
they
has
were
been
a foot away.
Yeah, I mean, they have been in the college national championship playoff discussion.
And
before.
I've got a feeling they're going to be a top preseason, top 10 team.
Yeah.
Paul beat you to the punch, Brown. He says Baylor or Oklahoma State just because of – I mean, Baylor – has been there now on the doorstep with two different coaches. They were there with Art Briles.
Yep.
And should have been in, probably. Or
three
could
different
have been
coaches.
In.
I mean, Aranda was kind of in the mix this year.
Aranda was, but Rule wasn't. I mean, as far as getting to the playoffs, Aranda.
Oh, yeah. No, Rule was 2 years ago. When Rule took the Carolina job, remember they played Oklahoma.
Winner would have been in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah, they were in the playoffs. Okay. They were a possession away.
I didn't think Baylor would have made the playoffs that
year. Yeah, they would have made the playoffs.
So then with three different coaches. I was skipping over Rule. I didn't think that win would have gotten them in, but you have a better memory than me. So Baylor has been there with three different coaches. Oklahoma State, it wasn't a playoff year in 2011. It was a BCS year, but they would have been in the playoffs.
They would have been in the playoffs. You had it in 2011, yeah.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, again, you mentioned all those teams. Texas and Oklahoma are still there, but I don't know how scared of Texas and Oklahoma the rest of the Big 12 is this year. With Venable's first season at Oklahoma, with Texas being very average in year one under Steve Sarkisian, you know, it could be like those teams are already out of the conference.
You know
right
what's
now.
Funny is to watch Oklahoma fans react to how all these players have left Oklahoma to go to USC. And it's funny how you don't really, like, you only see it from your, you know, in this case, crimson and cream glasses, if you're an Oklahoma fan, that you're griping about transfer portals and your guys following coaches and what USC is getting by stealing away from Oklahoma for USC. I mean, my goodness, your best quarterbacks in your program history all were transfers. I mean, Baker Mayfield,
that's a great point.
Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, yeah. They were all transfer guys. And nobody at Oklahoma bitched last year when they stole three guys from Tennessee when the Volunteers went through a coaching change, and three all-SEC-type guys went to Oklahoma. Those Sooner people were loving the transfer portal then. Now they're following Lincoln Riley to USC, and you have a bunch of people wringing their hands and clutching their pearls because, it just doesn't seem right that a coach should be able to raid a roster. Well, hello. You guys have been doing it for a decade.
Yeah, it's reason you've been in the playoffs. Yeah.
I mean, come on, Oklahoma.
That's
fans.
A great point, Jeff.
Yeah. Part of our show being brought to you by our friends at Mortgage Right, Dane Bradshaw, coming up at the top of the hour. We'll hear from Bruce Pearl in our next segment. Tell us about our friends at Mortgage Right.
Yeah, if you're in need of some quick cash to keep those New Year's resolutions afloat, well, our friends at Mortgage Right, they're the GOAT when it comes to getting your finances back on track. With a cash out refinance, you can make your most expensive resolutions a reality by taking advantage of your home equity. Whether it's building a home gym, to lose a few extra pounds, or backpacking across Europe, you can count on the experts at Mortgage Right to make getting cash in your pocket easy. Ring in the new year the right way by visiting MortgageRight.com/TNR.
Follow Brownie on Twitter and Instagram at Ryan Brown Live.
This hour of the Next Round is presented by Excalibur Services. Join our Total Home Comfort Club. Just like your car, your heating and cooling, electrical and plumbing systems need to be maintained for top performance, safety, and comfort. Call 205-718-8688. Excalibur Services, Alabama license number 15214.
Hey, Lance Taylor from the Next Round to tell you about our friends at Gutter Cap. Gutter Cap's that patented aluminum cover system that fits over most existing gutters to keep out debris and eliminate that gutter cleaning. It's back with a lifetime warranty, almost 20-year service record right here in Birmingham. Stay off that dangerous ladder forever. 45% off the retail price now if you call guttercapbirmingham.com. Call my good friend Chris Stewart now, 205-823-2212. Cap it, don't snap it, it's Gutter Cap. Hey, Lance Taylor from the Next Round to tell you about one of our favorite places for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That is Hamburger Heaven since 1982. Hamburger Heaven has been serving Birmingham's best hamburgers, cheeseburgers, french fries, hand-spun milkshakes, and sandwiches made fresh to order. All of their ingredients are fresh and prepared daily. This includes their beef, always fresh, never frozen, hand-pattied each and every day. For breakfast, lunch, or dinner, visit any of the four locations, Highway 280, Irondale, Gardendale, and Homewood.
Banking is not just about your money, it's about you. It's about getting help with what you need when you need it. Ryan Brown here for the Next Round. AmFirst was founded for members like you, and they've been putting those members first since 1936. Putting you first means service that grows and changes with the times to serve you better. Now every bank has their own app, but that's just it. It's theirs, not yours. The AmFirst app was made for you. So it's easy to pay bills, deposit checks, or transfer money to friends and family from anywhere. It's even customizable, which means you can personalize your dashboard, create usage alerts, and redeem points for rewards that will make you feel like the number one priority you are. And you can do it all on your own time. So what are you waiting for? Get the app made for you from AmFirst. Visit any AmFirst location or amfirst.org today. America's first federal credit union is federally insured by the NCUA. Everybody makes New Year's resolutions. This year, how about a suggestion for the best resolution ever? If you're buying a new home or selling yours, use Holly Mack Wilson. Let a true, experienced professional help you. Holly gets her clients' homes sold quickly and usually for more than asking price. Let Holly Mack Wilson help you buy with confidence and sell with success. Make the best resolution ever and call Holly Mack Wilson today. 205-901-9446. That's 205-901-9446. Holly Mack Wilson, a Tuscaloosa Keller Williams agent.
Hey, if you're looking for a local agent to handle all of your insurance needs, you need to call my good friend James Anthony at the James Anthony Agency, 205-985-7717, Hoover, Birmingham, Northport, and Tuscaloosa. He's been in business over 20 years, the James Anthony Agency.
The tradition of giving fine art continues with the Daniel A. Moore Alabama Christmas Gift Pack, including the new 2022 Crimson and White Fine Art Calendar featuring some of the most honored former Alabama players, one collegiate classic fine art print signed by the artist, and your choice of four Daniel A. Moore beverage mugs, all for only $79, a $115 value. Order now at danielmooreart.com or by calling 1-800-735-2787.
Stop by the New York Butcher Shop and pick up the finest in certified Angus prime beef steaks and burgers, premium pork chops, ribs, and all-natural chicken cut to order just for you. Their chef-prepared entrees and side dishes are the perfect dinner-to-go choice for your family and are ready to heat at home. With a great selection of fine wines and desserts, the New York Butcher Shop is your one-stop dinner shop. Two locations to serve you, Cahaba Heights and on Highway 119 in Greystone, the New York Butcher Shop. Rare quality, well-done service. Start your day online with our website, nextroundlive.com, the latest videos, podcasts, and college football stories. It's also a great way to stream the show or shop in the Next Round store. Stay connected by visiting nextroundlive.com. That's nextroundlive.com.
The Next Round team is getting healthy in 2022. You could join the challenge as we look to lose weight with our friends at Way to Wellness. Plus, you can participate with your office as well and win a grand prize. For more information, go to nextroundlive.com.
I know many of you are still very fond of Gus Malzahn and his wife, Christy. Christy is hospitalized. An update from Gus Malzahn sent out from the UCF Twitter account earlier. She's in the hospital battling an infection. Gus is thanking everybody for their thoughts and prayers as she tries to recover from that. And we'll pass along our thoughts and prayers to her as well as we move on with the show today. So hopefully Christy's out very good. Hey, good. I mean, UCF continues to win at this portal thing right now. They got the big tight end from Florida. It's going there. And every time I turn around, UCF's picking up a portal. That's a liked destination by some guys who are leaving even Florida schools.
That's going to put more expectations on Gus. You know, I thought it was going to be a really, really good team last year in the American, and they lost four games. I just don't have confidence in Gus Malzahn. I think he's a very average coach.
Yeah, I don't. I think he could probably get 9 or 10 wins in a given season there at Central Florida. I don't think he's ever going to take them to the playoffs or anything like that.
Kenmore Gamble is the kid I was thinking about.
But he has done well in the portal. You're right. I don't know if that has anything to do with – I think that's a pretty high-profile Group of Five program. I don't know if, like, that's a fun campus or living in Orlando is appealing to a 20-year-old.
Seems like it would be a city campus, and you guys have been to Orlando. You know, we did the Disney thing a few times. The traffic – is awful in Orlando.
Yeah, well, this is outside of town.
I've never seen the campus. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never been. It just seems like it would be a city campus to me.
Some of you who may have been there, I think Lunsford's been there. It seems like it's about 20 minutes from downtown.
Oh, is it?
In my opinion, yeah. But I may be wrong. Downtown may have built up out that direction since then. Hey, Rockstar, give me cut one again. Let's go back to Bruce Pearl talking about Auburn being number one, the challenges, but also the rewards of possibly being the number one team. Top of the hour is when the new AP basketball poll comes out. Here's Bruce Pearl after the win over Ole Miss Saturday and what number one would mean to him at this moment of the season for his Auburn program.
We've been managing the target a little bit for the last week or so because we've kind of put ourselves in a position all of a sudden where we started, you know, climbing the rankings a little bit. And so we had to deal with it tonight. Look, we're going to get beat. And when we get beat, it's not because we rested on our laurels or we started to pay too attention to what the media is. If we got beat tonight, Ole Miss would have beaten us. And they were good enough to beat us. They made good enough plays to beat us. They outplayed us for the, you know, first, 18 minutes, 17 minutes of that game. But at the same time, it is historic. And it does matter. And it does mean something. That'll be a proud moment for Auburn, period. Our university and our athletic department. Now, I understand that it, you know, doesn't mean much right now, but it still makes a very strong statement.
Bruce Pearl there. It doesn't mean much right now, but being a number one seed when you get to March Madness means everything.
Everything. They've won 13 straight. And, Brown, when I start to look at the schedule, if they get by Kentucky, and, again, that game's going to be at home, Auburn's going to be a slight favorite in that game, man, it opens up, and I don't know when they lose. Yeah. I really don't. I mean, they're going to go on a run. I mean, again, anything can happen. They were down 14 to Ole Miss as a pretty heavy favorite in that game. So, look, there can be one of these games they trip up, but they're going to be favored in a ton of games down the stretch.
I feel like if they seeded the tournament today, Gonzaga and Baylor would be ones.
And Auburn would be ones.
I mean, I think they would be
Auburn's
in that.
One.
Yeah, I think they would definitely be in that discussion, yeah.
I think Baylor and Gonzaga are givens. I've looked at, they're one.
Yeah, I think Baylor and Gonzaga would be givens right now. I think Auburn would certainly, I would have them as a one.
Yeah, they're a given right now. Lenardi has them number one in the bracketology. They may be number
the
one.
The overall number one or just a one seed?
I think he may have had them number one overall.
Yeah. Gonzaga is still number one in the net in the KenPom, which all these basketball people put a ton in that KenPom. And they're number one there. So, you know, I don't know who would be the overall number one. It doesn't really matter because we're mid-January, and that doesn't matter until March. But it shows you where Auburn has put themselves right now. They got to close the deal. And it starts Saturday. They'll kill Georgia. Georgia's awful. It starts Saturday.
I think they end up 27-4, 28-3, that type of regular season record.
Then you're a one seed, easy.
Yeah.
Easy.
And I think they're a one seed. And I don't think it matters what happens once they get to the tournament.
Yeah, and again, to me, it's one or two. That doesn't matter, really. One seed, two seed, it's virtually the same.
I think the only thing the bracketologist said in the past was, well, some 15s have beaten twos. Yeah, about every 15 years.
Yeah.
If you're a good two, you don't lose to 15.
You're right.
Well, I mean, again,
it really doesn't matter.
When Auburn went to the Final Four, their closest game until they lost to Virginia was the 5-12 matchup in the first round.
Yeah, I think it's a recruiting tool too, though. I mean, there's something cool about being the one seed, controlling your region.
We did lose Joe B. Hall over the weekend since our last show, the legendary Kentucky coach.
Good run for him, though.
Who played for Adolph Rupp in the 40s and then came back and coached with him. I didn't know that he was the head coach at Kentucky as long as he was, from 1972 to 85. I only remember him at the end of his coaching time in Lexington, but he was there as the head coach from 72 to 85. He was the guy coaching the 78 national championship team, which is one of the first Sports Illustrateds I got at the house, was Kentucky laying it in, yeah, winning the national championship. I used to love the Sports Illustrated covers, and that's one that sticks out in my mind.
You worked up there when Joe B. Hall was still around. He replaced Adolph Rupp, which was an impossible job, even though he played for a year for him and then was a longtime assistant for him. That was never going to be an easy job for anybody.
That's right. He was the Ray Perkins of basketball, but did a better, more successful job and stayed there longer.
But was never really fully accepted because of that, right? Because he was the guy after Adolph Rupp? But he was well-liked, I think.
Oh, he's beloved. Yeah. Beloved. And started doing...
good personality, right? Yeah, funny guy.
Just really a southern gentleman, I guess, is the way you would describe him. Very quiet. Nothing like, you know, of what the 80s SEC coaches were, you know, with Wimp and Dale Brown and, you know, Sonny and those type coaches.
Well, see, I thought he had the Joe B. Hall show.
He did with Denny Crum. He did. Denny Crum.
Yeah, they did. They did a radio show, Joe B. and Denny. Yeah. And it was very good, but
it wasn't like Sonny and Wimp.
No,
so
he doesn't have Wimp and Sonny's personality. Okay. Nowhere close. Nowhere close. He was more of a grandfatherly type. But he had great success there. Three Final Fours. We know how hard that is in a 1978 national championship. How many has Calipari gotten them to?
Final fours? Three or four.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine, you know, Calipari coaching from 72 to 85 and really not getting them anymore. I mean, three Final Fours at Kentucky leaves you wanting a little bit more. And I think that's what I always remember about Joe B. Hall when I was a kid, was it always seemed like Kentucky fans wanted more, right?
Yeah.
Like they don't think he was doing enough there, and you're starting to hear that a little bit more.
I think only three. Yeah, he made the Final Four his second year, the third year they won the national championship. And then he made the Final Four in 14-15. And other than that, he's made three.
Yep.
Cal has.
Riley says Auburn, is that right? Auburn's never been number one in the AP poll. They got to number one with Chris Porter and the SI poll when Sports Illustrated released one.
That's weird. They've been
one seed, yeah.
But never been a number one team. That's why it would be so historic if they are able to get that spot today. And again,
I think they get it.
I would have them there, but I just warn everybody, the way voters work, it's going to be hard to jump Gonzaga.
Scream, Rockstar, over the weekend.
Don't really scream.
$30 million in domestic box office. It led the way this weekend. They expect that they count today because it's a holiday weekend with Martin Luther King Jr. Day. $35 million when the day is done. That's pretty successful for basically a reboot, right?
It is. But they have four Screams, and then this is, I don't know if this is an origin story. Lunsford saw it. He gave it a thumbs down. I have absolutely no interest in it.
Well, it was just such a, 25 years removed.
It was an iconic movie, though, I thought.
The way they did it.
It was a Wes Craven movie, but we lost Wes Craven years ago, so I don't know.
The thing I remember most from it is, after it had been out for a little bit, people were buying the mask, or was that in Scream 2, when they were buying the mask and running in the theater, and that became a really big issue nationally.
Did it overtake Spider-Man this week?
I think it was.
It was number one movie.
I think it was number one.
Well, yeah. Spider-Man's maybe going to outdo it eventually in the long run.
You think in the long run they'll make more?
But how much did Spider-Man cost to make? Because I read this cost $23 million to make. So if they made 35 this...
That's why they did all those Paranormal Activities, because they said they're $2 million to make, and they make $100 million.
Well, and think about this, too. So the actors are a big cost, too. Obviously, special effects when you look at a movie like Spider-Man. But David Arquette and Neve Campbell probably cost pennies to bring them back. You know, Courtney Cox has still probably had all the money in the world, but she probably didn't cost a ton.
Yeah, so $23 million by a $35 million opening weekend. That's a pretty good,
good
return on investment there for Scream. All right, part of the show today being brought to you by our friends at Odie's Tavern right there in Mountain Brook.
Hey, it's a Birmingham institution located right there in Crestline Village. Rodney Davis cooking up the incredible lunches and dinners for almost 30 years now. Stop in, enjoy the award-winning wings, delicious burgers, my personal favorite, the Diablo sandwich, ice-cold beer buckets full of the Bud Light. Stop in, see Will Haver and that great staff. It's Odie's Tavern, Crestline Village.
Follow Dunaway on Twitter and Instagram at Jim Dunaway.